Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
From the HananiaAutos.com studio inside EverBank Field, Jaguars Postgame, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. We'll have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley coming up. Jeff Loggeman is outside the Jaguars locker room as we speak, awaiting the Jags head coach after the Jaguars fall to a record of 2-7. The loss today to the Houston Texans, 24-20 on the final. Houston, the division leaders, now 6-3. And just nothing doing really for the Jaguars today on the in the ground game. The passing game inconsistent. Defensively, they couldn't stop the run today. Osweiler only had 99 yards passing in this game. It was all on the ground. When they got rolling, they finished with 181 rushing yards. The Texans did. Key turnovers, missing deep balls down the field, part of today's game, and no takeaways on defense. All that combined for another loss, guys.
Yeah, Freddie, you know, it started off in a hole. Once again, another pick six. Bad throw by Blake Bortles, taken back the other way, and it was looked like it was a telegraphed one. And the Jags, as they often have been in the last really 3 years, been playing uphill, Fred, and it's tough when you're constantly in that position and you don't get on the board early.
I think in the pregame we talked about the turnovers, turnover margin, and starting fast. The Texans were a team that they weren't starting fast. They were 0-3 on the road, and they were terrible in the turnover margins. Here you have it. You're trying to start fast and do something, yet you throw a pick. And now you're just aiding the opponent, and you're helping them get to where they want to be. And it was a hard-fought game, and a few plays stood out. But for me, that pick six in is a third down, 3rd and 16, that allowed Hunt to convert, that ended up being a field goal.
They were basically giving up there. They were going to say, hey, you're going to stop us. We're going to punt. Let's go now to the locker room. Gus Bradley with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, the turnover differential was lost, but you guys had opportunities even after that point. Offensively, you had some deep ball opportunities, and defensively, a 3rd and 16 weren't able to make the plays.
You know what? All units can take responsibility of this. I mean, a long punt return, that put us in tough field position. They end up scoring a touchdown. Offensively, the turnovers, you're right, one of them led to a touchdown, pick six. And then defensively, that 3rd and long, you've got to have a stop right there. They in turn took it, drove it, and they got a field goal out of it, which was the difference in the game.
Well, watching Blake Bortles in today's game, it looks like he is struggling at times with those missed opportunities on the deep balls. That hurts. I mean, you got to be able to make those plays.
Yeah, and he made some plays, and then he missed some opportunities there too. So, you know, we just got to take a look at all the units. Everybody take responsibility, coaches included, and take a look at how we can improve each of our units.
Well, defensively, a pretty good job on Brock Osweiler. I think he only had less than 100 yards passing. Again, missed opportunities defensively. That 1 3rd down where they decided to pass on at the end of the ball game. Were you surprised that they were going to go for the throw instead of just to run the clock?
No, you know what? We played tight coverage, and, you know, they made a great throw and great catch. You know, they took a chance right there. We're playing tight coverage. They just made a play.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
There's Gus Bradley outside of the Jaguars locker room. We'll come back. More with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, Jeff Loggeman will be inside the Jags locker room as well. It's an unhappy final at EverBank Field. 24-21, Texans over the Jaguars. Jaguars postgame continues on Jaguars Radio. Game day is much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their 5 convenient lots. Tickets start at just $7. Final score at EverBank Field, Texans 24, Jaguars 21. Inside the locker room, Jeff Loggeman has Malik Jackson. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Malik, you guys fall to 2-7. Certainly not an easy one to understand at times, but again, the turnover differential seems to be one of the big reasons why.
Yeah, you know, we keep coming in. I think first, you know, defense and the offense played a good game. You know, I think we just got to – just those freak plays. I mean, who throws a ball in the dirt and just kicks it up for interception? You know, it's just – it's just crazy things keep happening to us, man. But, you know, I think we're working hard. We're showing progress. You know, we came at end with 3 points at the end, and we just got to start shooting ourselves in the foot, and we're going to be okay. You know, we just got to keep working.
The missed opportunities also offensively. You guys had some deep ball opportunities. Defense, you had a 3rd and 16. Special teams, a long punt return. So it's certainly one that can be shared.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody got to take a look at themselves. You know, I know on that long third down, they got the first down on the run. You know, I got to look at myself. I just wasn't playing the team defense. You know, I was trying to do too much. So, you know, we found a way. They found a way to win the game, and we didn't. And, you know, we just got to keep working.
How does this team continue to work? Is it going to be easy to maintain the focus going forward?
I mean, we have to. The season's 16 weeks long, and, you know, we have to finish 16 weeks. I think we have a lot of young guys that need to understand this is a long season, and we can still come back in this. As crazy as it sounds, we can still, you know, come back and win this division. So I think we just got to keep focused on, keep working. You know, it's about longevity, and it's about getting better every day, and we're going to do that here.
Thank you, Malik.
Thank you, guys.
Malik Jackson in the Jaguars locker room with Jeff Loggeman, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. I mean, that's all you can do. There are, what, 7 games left after this. Clean up the mess the best you can and move on to the next game. They're right there. They're close. They're a possession away. And sure. An extra possession, a takeaway away from having a better shot of winning games.
You just got to go week to week. I mean, I know Malik, look, you're not going to give up, obviously. They're mathematically still within the realm of winning the division. In reality, they have no chance to win the division. They just don't. I'm sorry. Houston's not. They're all 3 teams are not going to come back to the pack to them, and that's what they would need. I mean, Tennessee right now is going up and down the field on the Green Bay Packers. They're going to get to 5. You're going to be 3 games behind them. They're going to be in 2nd place. Indy's got the day off. Forget that nonsense. You just got to focus on it's not even being competitive, guys. It's making that 1 or 2 extra plays to put you over the top.
We'll get, Fred, your comments in just a moment. Let's go back inside the locker room. Kelvin Beachum with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Kelvin, obviously a frustrating loss, some opportunities out there. Even though you guys lost the turnover battle, you had opportunities offensively to make the plays.
Had a ton of opportunities. And in the National Football League, got to find a way to make plays. The coaches did a phenomenal job putting us in great positions, and we didn't deliver. You know, that was something that we talked about all week was delivering for our coaches and for each other. And when we had the opportunity to do so, we didn't do so in many instances in this game.
What's it going to take to get over that hump? Is it just, I mean, is it details? Is it the turnovers? Is it a combination of everything?
You got to grow up. You know, it's very simply put, you know, you can talk about the expectations, talk about the talent of this team, but at the end of the day, you got to work harder than the other team. You got to out-execute the other team. You got to play smaller than the other team. It's not a complicated game. You make plays, score touchdowns, stop the other team, and you win games. And we haven't been able to do the little things right and you know, stop beating ourselves.
7 games left. What's next?
Win. I mean, it's like I said, it's not complicated. You win in this league, you'd be happy. You lose in this league, you'd be sad, frustrated, miserable, disappointed, disgusted like we are right now.
All right, thank you, Kelvin.
Yep.
Kelvin Beachum, Jaguars left tackle in the locker room after the Jags lost today. Mr. Taylor, what now for this group?
This is I apologize for the chuckle, but I like what Mike said earlier. It's unrealistic. You can be optimistic as you want. You're not going to quit. You know, no one's going to quit. I thought I saw a little quit out there prior to the offense going down and scoring. A few guys, no passion, no fire, mm-hmm. No running around. They just got to keep playing. Beachum said it's simple. You know, he said they got to grow up. Yeah, they do have to grow up. Still getting a lot of penalties that you shouldn't get that are – actually taken away from what you're doing. I think for the first time today, I saw some things that I would call questionable from the coaching perspective.
Okay.
The standpoint of coaching.
Like?
Such as?
Halftime, hurry up. 2nd and 3, 3 times out, timeout, 41 seconds on the clock. You're on the 40-yard line. We're talking situational football. You want to get to the 35. Meyer just made a 54-yarder. There, it's 2nd and 3. Texans are in the sub defense. That means they're light up front, no D-line. If you know you're going to go for it on 2nd down, why not run the ball? At least try to run the ball. You know, to get you're trying to make the 35. You know, and there were opportunities. There they pass, mm-hmm. and gave the ball to the Texans, where 2 plays later, Fowler pushed them out of bounds. Now the Texans are in field goal range. But they messed that up too.
Yeah.
But you have to have the situational mindset because your backs were averaging 4.5 a carry at that point in time. And totally would have been a surprise play, I think, if you had handed quick draw or something. You lose by three. Little stuff like that, it all adds up. I don't know. It's just hard for me to really find anything positive to talk about. It just was a bad day across the board, in my opinion. Again.
Against a division rival and the division leader, they come into Everbank Field and they take the fifth straight win over the Jacksonville Jaguars today. The final score, 24-21. We'll come back with lightning fast questions for Fred Taylor. Texans are now 6-3 in control of the division. Well, a couple teams are gaining on them. The Jags fall to 2-7. And this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. Johnstown Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score, 24-21. Texans over the Jaguars. Texans are 6-3. The division leaders in the AFC South. The Jags fall to 2-7. They're going to Detroit next week in the NFC North. It's time for the highlights, and we'll pick the Bud Light play of the game as well. And this started in the first drive. Sixth play of the game. Blake Bortles with a pick six.
Opening possession of the game. Shotgun this time for Bortles. Two left, one right. Slot to the right, and Yeldon is slotted to the left side.
Green is set.
Dropping the throw is Bortles. Looks to the left, fires it out to the left. That is going to be picked off, and that is going to be a pick six. Well, he slipped. They have not marked him down. He is into the end zone. That is going to be a touchdown.
Kareem Jackson, 42 yards, the ninth career pick six thrown by Blake Bortles. And it was 7-0 in a hurry. But the Jaguars found their sea legs on the next drive. They go 13 plays, 75 yards, and Bortles finds Julius Thomas to equal the score.
Two left, one right for Bortles in a shotgun. Four-man front for the Texans. Blake drops the throw, looks to the left. Now looks to the middle of the field. Now fires into the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. A 5-yard touchdown pass to Julius Thomas, and the Jags are on the board.
Bortles 8-9 passing on that drive, tied the game at 7, but the Texans go right back down the field. 10 plays. Osweiler to Ryan Griffin for the score.
Second and goal from just outside the goal line. I formation. Rolling to the right after a play fake. They throw it into the end zone for the easy touchdown. Ryan Griffin makes the catch from Osweiler. It's a 1-yard touchdown pass, and the Texans have taken the lead again.
Ensuing Jaguars drive, Bortles appeared to throw. It was ruled later to be a lateral, a backwards pass. Either way, it's a turnover. Whitney Mercilus comes up with it.
10-yard penalty, 11-yard gain, 2nd and 9 from the 44-yard line. Shotgun for Blake. They blitz this time. Tries to throw a screen out to the left side to Yeldon. It was tipped, and it is going to be intercepted.
They ruled it a fumble. The Texans missed a field goal, 49 yards off of that. Myers hit a 54-yard field goal, made it a 14-10 ball game. Novak missed again from 50, and the Jags turn over on downs, and then the end of the half. Second half, punts for each side on their first two drives, but then Houston gets up two scores. They go from Osweiler to Anderson. This is after a long punt return of 57 yards to set it up. Osweiler to Anderson for a 7-yard score.
First and goal from the Jaguars 7. Here come the Texans. Shotgun from Brock Osweiler. Play fake rolls to his right, fires to his tight end. He's caught it. That's going to be a touchdown on the rollout. Steven Anderson rollout, threw it to Anderson. He was wide open. He walked into the end zone. It's a 7-yard touchdown for the Houston Texans.
21-10 the score at that point. Myers hit a 44-yard field goal for the Jags, made it 21-13. Novak answered, 51-yarder, 24-13. A couple drives later, the Jaguars in desperation mode. They get down the field, though, in a hurry. And this is the Bud Light play of the game. Bortles to A-Rob for the touchdown to get within one score.
Two right, one left, slot left. Ivory the running back, shotgun for Bortles. Blake looks to throw after the snap. Pump fake. Pump fake again. A lot of time. Rolls to his left. Still rolling. Still rolling. Now he fires into the end zone. Diving attempt. Touchdown. Allen Robinson with a touchdown catch from Blake Bortles in the corner of the end zone.
14-yard score. Two-point try was good. The Jags down 24-21. But then the Texans on offense. The Jags had some timeouts and the two-minute warning. But it comes down to this play, and Hopkins, of all people, against Ramsey, gets it done.
It is a shotgun with three receivers to the right for Osweiler. Miller stands to his left. Long snap count, 15 on the play clock. Osweiler drops the throw. Looks, fires to the left side, caught, diving catch. He went to DeAndre Hopkins. He beat Jalen Ramsey on a slant. First down at the 23 and a new set of downs for the Houston Texans.
That would pretty much wrap it up. The final score, 24-21. That Bortles to A-Rob touchdown of 14 yards. The Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. We'll come back. The Everbank Stats Check. More with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey as well. Final score of 24-21. Texans over the Jaguars. Texans now 6-3. The Jags fall to 2-7. And this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame rolls along. 24-21 the final. Texans over the Jags in week 10. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. It's time now, guys, to pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. Just as a reminder, the voting procedure is this. Mike, you get a vote.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I get a vote. Not that I made the rules. And Fred gets a vote and a half.
We kind of did make the rules,
break
didn't
any
we?
Ties. Yeah, I guess you did. Not that, sure. I said not that I did. I said we. I
we, it's collectively.
We. It's us.
Right.
It's a group effort.
Well, thank you for the vote. Who do you want? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first today.
Yeah, you go first.
I'll go ahead and go first, and I'll go with Allen Robinson, first 100-yard game this season, 13 targets, 9 catches, 107. He went over 100 on that touchdown reception, by the way, and also had the 2-point catch after that. A-Rob, I'll go with that. 9 for 107, that's a solid day. And his, Marquise was the first Jags receiver to go over 100 yards in the game this year. And now A-Rob's the second. He's my vote.
Okay, Freddie, you want to go second, or you want to save it for the cleanup?
I mean, I can mention my vote now.
Go ahead.
I'm with JP.
Okay,
hey Rob,
disenfranchised.
I mean, he made some good plays today. Made a lot of great catches. I saw fire in his eyes. He wanted more. I like to see him get some more targets and see what happens.
The polls are still open out west, Mike. If you
want, well, to vote, it seems the Electoral College has spoken here,
the
but
Electoral College.
I'm gonna make it a clean sweep anyway. I was gonna disenfranchise Fred, so that's why I let him get in there. I mean, come on, Allen Robinson to me clearly the player of the game for the Jags today. 9 for 107 and a touchdown on 13 targets. There kept fighting it, and as we pointed out, Fred had to make a few acrobatic catches just to what should have been simple completion. So yep, A-Rob. Clean sweep. Is that the first clean sweep we've had of the voting this year?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No?
Might be.
You always like to throw a little one out of left field.
Oh, I'm a wrench thrower,
yes,
man.
Today, there are no wrenches to be thrown today.
No, it's pretty clear.
I thought Ramsey played well. It's tough to give it to a guy when he gives up the completion and ultimately seals your fate there. But I did think he played well on Hopkins today, Fred, overall. I mean, they threw in his direction. He didn't have a notable reception that I can recall today, other than the final one.
No, I'm with you on that, Mike. I thought Jalen was extremely physical, as he's shown throughout the entire year. He's going to get scrappy. You know, his physicality, he's going to get the little small interference calls that they did call, but those I don't think they hurt us.
And Jason Myers crushed, too, right down the pipe.
Absolutely.
I mean, he crushed them. So, but
everybody's eating Firehouse Subs, too.
Yes, we are. We had them in the pregame, and we're going to have them for the postgame, too.
I like it. Come back with the injury report. The Jaguars Radio Network player of the game is Allen Robinson. Jags fall 24-21 to the Houston Texans. More Jaguars postgame coming up on Jaguars Radio.
Attention athletes, I'm Mindy Black, dietitian for the Jacksonville Jaguars, with a tip on how to take your game to the next level. Make Zach Snacks a part of your game plan. Omega-3s are essential for optimal brain function and recovery. If you need to increase your awareness and focus during practice and games, then you need Zach Snacks. It's a tasty way to get your omega-3s. Research tested and approved, Zach Snacks are an official snack of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So snack the way the pros snack. Find us at MyZachSnacks.com.
Hey, Jaguars fans, you ready to score free McDonald's favorites this season? Just download and register on the McDonald's app. Cheer on our Jaguars. Win free food. The Jaguars' final score wins you a McDonald's favorite. 10 points gets a free 6-piece chicken McNuggets. 20 points a free double cheeseburger. And 30 points a free Big Mac. It's good to be a Jaguars fan. Valid September 11th through January 1st. McDonald's app download and registration required. Valid only at participating McDonald's in the Northeast Florida, Gainesville, Southeast Georgia areas. No purchase required.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. While NFL coaches and players use Surface Pro 4 this season, fans at home can show their fandom with the same device. Now available, the Surface Special Edition NFL type covers. And for a limited time, buy a Surface Pro 4 in any NFL type cover and get 15% off NFL Game Pass and a chance to win Super Bowl 51 tickets. Visit surface.com/NFL to learn more. Get your Surface at a Microsoft store or online today. Must be U.S. resident, 18 or older. Ends January 1st, 2017. See website for official rules.
Man, I can't land this trick. The sun keeps getting in my eyes.
Here, you gotta try these Modison sunglasses. They're made from recycled skateboards.
I've never seen anything like these.
No two are alike, and Modison has a bunch of different styles available, each with its own use and abuse graphics.
Whoa, light, comfy, and these lenses are amazing.
Yeah, they come with those sweet flex hinges and polarized lenses that keep the glare out of your eyes, and you can't blame falling on the sun.
Right on. I'm definitely getting a pair of these.
Check out their full collection at Modison.com.
Jaguars postgame continues, a 24-21 Texans win over the Jags in Week 10. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. And that's a positive. No true notables that had to leave the game, at least that we remember. Cyprian ran off but came back on. Lee had what looked to be a right ankle issue, but he was back in the ball game. And Blake was, I think, what, limping around at one point. I know he got hit.
Yeah,
in the,
yeah.
In the hand, holding his hand or
right,
something.
Right, but nothing that seemed to affect him the next play or anything further down the line.
Yeah, so that's good news. How bad does the defense miss Roy Miller right now in the run game? Or does that make much of a difference for what happened today?
Roy's he's a solid player. It helps the rotation. I think it keeps the guys fresher. To give up 180 this week and then just skip Kansas City because they didn't have any backs
right,
or a quarterback, so they weren't a real threat. And then what the Texans did to them prior to that, I mean, I think
Titans,
they are.
Yes.
Titans, I'm sorry.
Yes.
What the Titans did out there in the run game. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. But if one less body, it does hurt their rotation a little bit. But I guess on the bright side of things, it gives the young guys an opportunity to get out there and get some reps. Doesn't do much for the win column or the fans that want to see those wins, but it does give you an opportunity to see the type of players you're going to have years to come.
Yeah, Avery Jones stepping in that role.
He's always been solid.
Yeah.
I like the way he plays.
That's all he can do is do the best he can. He's doing well, playing.
Yeah.
Like you said, one man less on the rotation now up front for the Jaguars defensive line. Jared Odrick was back in there today, by the way, as well. We'll come back and preview next week's game in Motown. Jaguars are heading to Detroit to face the Lions. Leones are next on the list. Jags fall 24-21 to the Texans. Jaguars postgame continues on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Ready to take your game to the next level? Become a pro fan. Only with NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. With NFL Red Zone, you can see every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. And with NFL Network, you get 24/7 coverage of the entire league. Switch to an X1 double play from Comcast and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call 1-800-XFINITY or click today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
Tailgate checklist. Cooler. Check. Chips. Check. Hot dogs. Check.
Jaguars hoodie? Check. Insurance? Check. This season, protect your team with insurance from Auto Owners Insurance. Keep everything you value safe, sound, and secure. Auto Owners Insurance. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Jaguars fans, if you're looking to buy a home or refinance your current mortgage, it's time to take it to the house with your hometown lender. EverBank and their team of home lending specialists are ready to go to work for you with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. So if you're ready to make the most of your lending experience, connect with an EverBank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is an equal housing lender, NMLS 399805.
It's game day, which means some fans are packing up the car 4 hours early, while others wait until just before kickoff. Some fans are wearing their brand new jerseys, while others are wearing the same jersey they've worn since 03, because it's tradition, and why shouldn't they? NFL fans root for their teams differently, but they drink the same beer, Bud Light, the only beer that loves football as much as you do. Bud Light, raise one to right now. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're listening on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is next. Mike and I will take phone calls.
Hope we have some.
355-NFL-1, 904, or a 1-800 if you're outside of the calling area, 355-6351. That's coming up. Final moments with Fred Taylor, though, on Jaguars postgame. The Jags have to find some way to come together again, as we say, have had said the last few weeks, and go to Detroit this week. The Lions await the Jaguars at Ford Field, and, you know, it's a Lions team with Matt Stafford at the controls, first of all, and that's never going to be easy. He's always certainly underrated, I think, around the league, but having a good year. They're pretty hot right now. They have the bye this week, but they won 4 out of 5 entering the bye after starting 1-4. They beat the Eagles, Rams, and Redskins in a row, lost to these Texans, and then beat the Vikings, who had been struggling the last few weeks last week. And then they welcomed the Jags this week. So what do you make of the Lions, Fred? What do you know about Detroit?
Well, they haven't lost in their losses. They've only, you know, lost by 14 points in 4 games. So they're playing a lot of close games. They beat some pretty good teams. There's not a lot of players – I guess marketable players, you would say, that just stand out at out there.
Yeah, Megatron's
after
gone.
Megatron, right? You say they're gonna slow down. Then you look at the other positions out there. You're like, wow, how are they getting it done? But they're finding a way, and that's what the NFL is all about: find a way. I can tell you, man, if the Jags can't go up there and get a win this week, that turkey's going to taste like, what is it, tofu?
Tofu. I don't know what tofu tastes like, but can't imagine it's too good.
Exactly. But you got to find a way to get it done. That's what this league is about. Find a way.
You know, the thing I think about Detroit, you watch them this year, and Stafford's always had a little bit of that last-minute gunslinger in him. Mm-hmm. And right now, this is a team that they let one get away against Tennessee that they felt like they had. Tennessee scored 2 defensive touchdowns to win that game. Other than that, I mean, Stafford in late-game situations this year has been really good. We saw them steal one against Minnesota last week. With 40 seconds left, they think this guy has got enough time to get him in field goal position if that's what they need, drive him down the field, and so far it's worked for him. And Fred, I would imagine when you really believe backed up with evidence that you've done it before, that you're never out of a game, that makes you a really dangerous team.
It makes you really dangerous. And I think when you look at what they're doing statistically, it's not pretty. They're either in the bottom half of the league or, you know, they're not doing great statistically at all. But I think they are a team that's coached fairly well. And they're not putting themselves in position to hurt themselves. At least they're giving themselves an opportunity to win the games. And again, that's when I say you got to find a way. You want to not hurt yourself, but give yourself an opportunity. And that's why they're playing well.
Yeah, the Lions last week hit 2 50-plus-yard field goals in the fourth quarter, 1 at the gun, 58-yarder from Prater, and then Tate with that incredible reception and touchdown in overtime to win it, kept his toes in bounds, and then leapt in for the game winner. So,
and they're number one in the NFC North.
That's incredible, right?
The Lions.
Think about that.
Minnesota lost again today, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're 4-0.
So now you're talking about a team coming off a bye week. We're playing, you know, we're 5-4. They're playing for something. Green Bay.
Darn right they are.
Beat up, you know, Minnesota. She got, like, those teams aren't going to really make a run late. So they are playing for something. It's not going to be an easy game.
You all right, Fred?
I am great.
After this today?
Hey, man.
How do you feel?
I feel great. Everybody's saying, Fred, we need you out there. They don't understand that. If I can get out there, I would be out there. But it's over. We are 5 years removed, man. There isn't a shot in that I will be out there. I was waiting on a beep. Can we get a radio beep?
I think they know that, but I think it's just, man, it just
I mean, but I
you.
Love the fans, and it just shows how much they appreciate what I've done, you know, in my time here. And I love it. It's good conversation starter. It's a good – it's a small talk. But it ain't happening. That's
hot
all
tub
I know.
Time machine.
It ain't happening.
That's what we need
man.
For Fred and the crew. Yeah. I don't know.
We'll see if they can put it together this week.
I'm always optimistic, regardless of what happens, and I have to be, you know, realistic when it comes to the fans and doing this show and being accountable for what we stand for. But I'm always optimistic, no matter how bad it gets. I'm a Jaguar for life, so when they stink, I stink. When I stink. I stink. But
when you work with words, words are your work, Fred.
Right.
Well done.
Right.
Fred, enjoy Mexico. I know you're going down getting ready for the Monday night game next week. Do some events, right?
Yeah. The NFL, they're cozying up with the Mexican officials.
Yeah.
And I know that they're entertaining taking the game over there in the international series. So I'm doing my part, you know, as ambassador to try and help. I'll be slicing bad, slicing turkey and slicing the golf ball. But it's going to be fun, though.
Should be.
It's going to be a lot
They
of
can
fun.
Fit a
Should
lot
be.
Of people in that Azteca stadium down there. And
they will,
and they will sell a lot of merchandise. And if you can make money on it, the NFL is going to come find you.
They better not build that wall.
I think it won't be erected by the time you want to come back. Let's just say that.
I know, right?
I think you'll be okay.
On that note, that'll do it for Jaguars postgame. Fred, well done. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tyler Davitt and Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, Mike Dempsey, this is JP Shadrick saying goodnight. Stick around in Jacksonville. The Scoreboard Show is next. This has been Jaguars Postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Scoreboard Show continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey on 1010XL and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app. After the Jags fall 24-21 to the Houston Texans, phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll be here till 6 o'clock getting your thoughts and giving some of ours on this Jaguars loss today.
Yeah, I think for me, JP, the record is what the record is. You'd always like them to win. They seem to find a different way to hurt themselves. I don't want to say find a way to lose, but just find a way to make some negative plays in different categories every week, which ultimately – they've been unable to overcome for the most part this year. But it really, again, it comes down to me to Blake Bortles. The numbers hide what your eyes tell you. And, yep. You know, again, I mean, wobbly ball after wobbly ball. underthrows, as Fred said, underthrows with the wobblers, overthrows with the spirals. He overthrew Hearns with the spiral. He underthrew Lee. Both of those guys were steps behind the defense.
Those were touchdowns.
Those were plays last year. Those are the ones that are hitting, right? That's how he got the 35 touchdowns. That's how Robinson went to the Pro Bowl, and Hearns was the 1,000-yard receiver, and they're just not getting that. And they have more weapons this year because Marquise Lee is healthy. Allen Robinson had a pretty good game for himself today, but Blake is just so inconsistent right now. I don't know how many times I mentioned it in the last hour, even on the 15-yard, 10-yard completions that are right there, open guys. He's throwing it, 2 feet outside the normal catch radius, and guys are having to make circus catches, and you're not getting run after the catch. So you're not maximizing what the play is allowing you to get there. And, you come out with the pick six, and the nonchalance of the throwing it at T.J. Yeldon's feet, you got to know as a quarterback there whether you're throwing it forward or not. I thought when it first happened, I thought it was forward.
Right.
I did. But they obviously reviewed it and changed it to a fumble. So, wouldn't have mattered either way. It was a turnover. But the fact that it's even that close, it shouldn't be that close, I guess, is the kind of the point. And then, Blake is – I get it. He's got to be frustrated. But the body language after the turnovers, just the – just physically acknowledging the, oh my gosh, I can't catch a break. It's kind of like an almost, oh, woe is me, what's going to go wrong now kind of thing. At least that's what I see.
I don't know. I don't hold him much on that. I mean, everybody's going to be frustrated when they throw
an
interception.
I know he's frustrated, but
they show it different ways.
So be it. I mean, that's not the biggest thing in the world. That's just one in a long list of things down the line.
But I think that's you hit it. I mean, this is where it starts and ends. Your quarterback has to play better football if this offense is going to get going. And
these games are there for the taking.
Absolutely. You're missing those key plays down the field. And in this league, those plays are made if you want to be a winning football team.
Right.
That's how it works.
And look, I hate to put it on the defense because I thought the defense outplayed the offense once again for the most part.
They gave up 17 points today.
Right, because the pick six is not on them, But here you are in a 3rd-and-16 situation, and they run a little jet sweep motion, and they just inside handoff follow right behind that lead block, and he Hunt went for – I think 15 before he got touched on 3rd-and-16 and easily converts the third down. Very reminiscent to me of the DeMarco Murray run at the end of the first half a couple weeks ago against Tennessee. It's 3rd-and-12, 3rd-and-13, and they're just punting. They're ready to punt and run it out, and you give up that play and you let them get more points on the board. And these are the kind of plays that a team that is losing football games can't afford to make.
And then the other part of this, the special teams today. Yeah, field goals were made. Myers had a good day again, but the punt return of 57 yards from Tyler Irving down to the 7-yard line set up the last Houston touchdown and made it a 21-10 ball game.
Yeah, Nortman didn't have his best day.
Nope.
Yeah, and he's been very good this year, so you hate to be too critical of him because he, what you brought him in for, he's been exceptional this year, really has. So. But that's it with this football team right now. When it rains, it pours. We talked about in the pregame, what is the identity of this football team? We talked about what we think they'd like it to be, be able to run, have some balance, and take some play-action shots off of that. But week to week, JP, it seems like different things work, and it's different things that don't work. One of 14 on third down last week. They'd never the two that they gave up, the 16-yarder and then the final play to Hopkins when you got a chance to at least tie, if not win, this football game outright. It's just disheartening. I'm not saying the guys aren't giving the effort. It's just, the effort hasn't been good enough to this point.
We'll come back and open up the phone lines. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, the number. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls coming up. This is the Scoreboard Show. So, how about some scores? The earlier games have now gone final. The Titans are now 5-5. They beat the Packers 47-25 this afternoon. The Redskins beat the Vikings 26-20 was the final score. The Buccaneers over the Bears, 36-10. Eagles over the Falcons, 24-15 the final. The Eagles are now 5-4. The Rams get a win. They're 4-5 now with a 9-6 win over the Jets. A lot of offense there, I'll tell you. The Chiefs improved to 7-2. They come from behind with 17 fourth quarter points and beat the Panthers 20-17 in Charlotte. The Broncos beat the Saints 25-23 on a blocked extra point return for two. That was the result. The Broncos are now 7-3, and the Ravens back on Thursday night beat the Browns 28-7. Some games in action. Chargers over the Dolphins 10-7. That's 2:50 to go in the second quarter. The Cardinals lead the 49ers 14-7 early in the second. The about 12:45 to go in the second in Pittsburgh. Steelers lead the Cowboys 12-10. Tonight, Seahawks at the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. And then Monday night, the Bengals at the Giants.
Yeah, that Carolina game, Cam Newton, that was all on him. Terrible off-balance, threw it up for grabs, interception. Eric Berry had a highlight reel return, 2 360 spin moves to break tackles, and ran it all the way back and scored, and that really put Kansas City right back there even with them. And Chiefs now 7-2. They're in good shape right now.
What a division that is, by the way. AFC West.
Yeah, they're loaded up with Denver winning again today. Oakland with the bye week. That is very competitive. All right, let's get out to it, JP. 355 NFL 1. We're going to start with Darren in Mandarin first up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Darren.
Hey, guys. Always enjoy the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Mike, I know y'all may not know the answer to this, but I'd like to know your thoughts on it. You know, so many times when I played football, even in high school, and I played one little year of semi-pro for a small Jacksonville team back in the 90s, when we found something that worked, we stayed with it. There's an old saying, you do it and do it and do it until they stop it. And there were times today that I felt like, and I've seen this during the season, that Hearns, I know he didn't connect, Bortles didn't connect on him on that pass, and Lee had to turn around and almost made a spectacular catch on that one pass. But they both broke free on those routes. I never saw those two routes again. Now, maybe they were ran and the cameras just never picked up on them again. But it seems like the Jags are constantly searching for plays. And I know they said they streamlined it a little bit. But, Bortles isn't rolling out. He rolled out and hit Robinson for the touchdown there at the end. But, I mean, where's his counter? You run one way and throw it back the other way. Houston had a tight end running wide open twice. They scored the touchdown early on. And I'm just not seeing that kind of thing. And, by the way, last thing is Odrick. And I know this doesn't mean anything, but Odrick was being held 5 yards. When you replay it and look at it, I backed it up. Odrick was being held about 7 yards before they caught. He got that big run where they got to have 3rd and 16 at about 11 yards into the play. Odrick was being held and being pulled back. So it's irrelevant, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. Guys, have a good one.
All right, thanks. And certainly I've heard that as well. Everyone's probably heard that if you watch football for any time. You run something until they stop it. Well, guess what? When they're incomplete, they did stop it, right? It wasn't like the Jags were having success yesterday. They were getting the guys open. Your quarterback can't hit them right now. It's just the facts of the matter. I'm not saying they didn't play. They may have called a few other deep balls somewhere along the way. Sometimes, JP, the pressure gets there, and you have to call it off.
Maybe they checked out of it
Or what different things happen. Right. And like you said, if you're watching the TV shot of it, there are deep routes that are probably being run in some place to clear out things for the underneath. But clearly they had those set up for those circumstances. And it's great that they're open. But if you can't deliver the ball on time and on target, I don't know what good it is to continue to take those shots. I mean, look, maybe
you'll hit one occasionally. But
maybe.
You're not going to throw 17 of those a game.
No,
you're only going to have a few anyway.
Right.
So, and the way it works out, you only had a couple today and you were 0-2 on them.
You're right, right. And one was an overthrow, one was an underthrow, and both of those guys were steps behind the defense today. Yeah. Darren, thank you for the call. Let's get Mike in Jacksonville Beach next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'll be happy to take my answer off the air. I think Jacksonville is great, and the Bortles is he's playing a little bit better. I think he'd be a lot better, and I feel like he's not taking the game seriously. He's out partying at the beach bars till late. And I just want to get you guys' opinion on that. I mean, he's out of Lynch's last night till 2 a.m. and played like shit today.
Oh, come on,
language
Mike.
Now, but I mean, that's a bold accusation.
Well,
if you
first
weren't
of all,
there to
come
see
out
it,
with
I guess.
The language, seriously, man, it's not that kind of program. I wasn't there.
I wasn't either.
I can't, you know, and I'm not going to take the word from someone on the radio. I'm not saying I'm not, but I can't take your word for anything. You know, we don't know. We weren't there. Anybody could call in and say anything. Put it this way. You're not the first person that has said that this is an issue with Blake this year. You know, if that's the case, put it that you should. If you're the starting quarterback of the football in the NFL, you can. I understand you're a grown adult and all these things. If that's the case, you shouldn't be out till 2 a.m. Nobody on this football team should be out till 2 a.m. the night before. JP, do they stay downtown? They stay in a hotel on the night before the home games?
Yeah.
I would imagine there's a curfew.
I would
right?
guess so, yeah.
So I don't know if this is accurate or not.
I'm going to guess no.
You know, I mean, but.
I'm guessing no.
But I've heard that this has been something on a lot of people's minds. There, you know, a lot of guys in the NFL go out on Friday nights. The night before the game's a different story. I don't know if Blake did that or not. I can't tell you. So,
I know sometimes you'll see somebody out, maybe in the summertime or around town. That happens. But that sometimes can blow into a story. Oh, we saw him this time. Maybe he's out there. I don't know. I have no idea. That might be where a lot of this might be coming from. But
well, I mean, that's a direct
a grown man doing it. He
accusation
do he wants.
That he was doing this last night. I can't tell you.
Bold.
You know. So
all right.
I mean, it's bold. It could be true. It could not be true. I have no idea. So it's really hard to get too much further down the line with that.
We'll come back and take more calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number. The Scoreboard Show continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Scoreboard Show rolls along. Final score, 24-21, the Texans over the Jags.
Here's a quote that you and I have discussed. We haven't talked about it yet on the Scoreboard Show.
Yes.
From Sindarik Marks, is reported by Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union.
Yes.
Ryan's a very serious guy. Didn't make stuff up. The Sindarik Marks, quote, "I've flat out done a lot for this organization, and to be slapped in the face, I was on the sideline for the majority of the game," end quote. That's the thing. That's when you know, JP, things are starting to fracture. When you get the public comments about my playing time or how I was used or the coaching staff's not doing this.
Especially from a guy like Sindarik, who's been a good soldier around
here.
He's
been a phenomenal soldier. And that's, I think, why he probably feels like, hey, you know, I have been, and I've been a producer on the field as well. I mean, he was the best player on this team his first year here, really. I mean,
he got the big bonus with the sack.
And well deserved.
End, right? Yeah,
well deserved. Sure. So you hate to see that kind of thing fracture, but you're 2-7.
That's what happens. When
I mean,
two
look,
and seven.
You're 2-7. The head coach has won, what, 14 games now in 3.5 seasons? No one's going to be happy. And, you know, I think it's – honestly, it's a little surprising we haven't seen more of it, because I got to believe there's more angst or, you know, negative sentiment in there. It's just natural when you've got a team that's lost this many games in this period of time.
And especially for a team that was expected to be in the hunt this year or be close to the hunt this year. They are far from the hunt right now. They're back in the lodge right now. They're not in the hunt at all.
That's
it's 2-7, and that makes it even that's where the frustration comes, because you understood, I think, though it's not fun, the first couple of years what was going to happen around here. 13-14, it was a young football team, weren't spending on free agency. You had an idea those were going to be bad seasons, the results. Well, this was not supposed to be there.
No.
And it is right now.
Yes.
And that's the frustrating part for everybody, and it goes from the top of the organization all the way down in that locker room now.
All right, let's get back out to it. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number. Let's go to Gainesville and welcome GW to the Scoreboard Show. Hi, GW.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
So, just another tough loss there. It's kind of hard to get a handle on what's going on, really. I mean, we lead in yards, total yards. We lead in time of possession, and we just always seem to make enough mental mistakes to lose the games. And, at this point, I just kind of wonder, at what point do we start wondering what direction the team is going in? And so I wanted to ask you guys, what is Gus Bradley's brand of football here? Because I can't seem to get a handle on it. And, you know, 3.5 years in, we've got, I want to say I saw a stat, he has the worst winning percentage of any coach that started out in this many games since, like, the 40s or something like that.
Yeah. That was, there was only, know, out of 150 coaches, roughly, something like that, whatever the number was, who had coached 50 games, he was like 149th out of 150. Burt Bell was the only other guy who was the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, so he couldn't fire himself.
Yeah.
You know, he was a lot of things. He was commissioner of the National Football League. But in the modern era of the NFL, for a coach to have lasted that long, Gus has the worst winning percentage of any of them.
What is the brand of football was the question?
Yeah.
I don't know if we have seen.
We
what
talked
that
about
is
that. They haven't been able to establish a brand.
No.
You know, there was a brand last year, you could say, big play, exciting offense, right? At least there was that. You knew you had the chance to go and trade punches offensively with teams last year.
A lot of that was late in games.
It was. There was no question about it. But still, when your quarterback,
young
35,
playmakers doing things.
Allen Robinson going to the Pro Bowl, putting up big numbers. Yeah. I don't know, JP. I think they'd like it to be the ability to run the ball. But then why wasn't there more of an effort to do that? This game was never out of hand for this football team. Yet, as you pointed out, 18 carries for the running backs, 49 pass attempts for Blake Bortles. There's no balance. So, you know, I don't know if they're trying to – look, what is the brand of football for the Patriots? They're a chameleon every week, right? And I get it. Their brand is winning. I get it. But you know what? I mean, you don't have to be the same thing. You don't have to be smash mouth, smash mouth, smash mouth. You can mix it up as long as you're having success. There doesn't have to – you know, in fact, if you don't have a particular quote-unquote brand, makes other teams difficult to game plan for you, right?
Sure.
But for what they're doing here –
defensively, they like to be a ball hawking defense. It takes it away, gets
a
pass rush.
Who would?
That's what we heard. Defensive coordinator Gus Bradley from the Seahawks
far from
coming
it.
Down here.
They're not that. Though.
They're not doing that.
No. So I don't know if you can. I mean, you can look at the record and say this is what the record is. I don't know what you can say the brand. There is no brand of football.
2-7.
Right. 2-7. That's the brand. Unfortunately, right. Let's get Keith on the west side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Keith.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, man.
All right.
Hey, I just like to know, I mean, Blake's not playing that good, missing wide open receivers. Do y'all think that it's time to get Brandon Allen a shot?
No. Brandon Allen, no.
And the reason being is because, you know, once you make that move to me, you're done with the franchise quarterback. When you go, if you go to the sixth round rookie, you're done. He's no longer the franchise quarterback, in my opinion.
Though he has a big arm. I'll give him that.
Granted, he does.
He's never played a snap in
the NFL.
He does,
but you have a
invested. Had trouble taking snaps from center in training camp when he first got here.
Right. Now that's
where he was.
I get it. Right. He has a big arm. He has some tools.
All of a sudden,
they
week 10,
they can develop him. No, okay. So. But look, JP, with a different court, if this were a journeyman instead of a young guy in Blake Bortles, if this were Ryan Fitzpatrick, then you would see Brandon Allen get a shot or someone else get a shot. I get that Blake is not playing well, and I really do, but you got 7 games left. Let's all be honest with ourselves. This team's not going to the postseason. This team's not going to win the final 7 games and go 9-7. They can try. You can root for that. In the world of reality, it's not happening, okay? So, to me, if I'm running it, I want to get everything I can. I want to find out. I want to give Blake every chance to get this right and find out if he's the guy that I want to hitch my wagon to going beyond 2016.
Yeah, because that's what they have to find out.
You're right.
Because that decision comes up for the fifth-year option after this year, going into the fourth season for a first-round pick. We'll come back. More of your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Couple of segments to go on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Scoreboard Show
continues right now.
Welcome back, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Final score 24-21. The Texans over the Jaguars in week 10. The Texans 6-3. The Jags fall to 2-7. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. And we've covered a few things already today.
We have. And it looked a lot of the same themes that have been plaguing this team for a while now, but that's where we stand right now. All you can do is talk about what your eyes showed you today, and showed you that the Jags fell to 2-7. We got more on the line here at 355 NFL 1. Let's head out to Mandarin and welcome David to the program. David, you're on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hey,
14-43 under Bradley, 21-88 for the last since 2010. So, Jeff, I got a question for you.
Jeff?
You played in the league a long time.
There's no Jeff here.
Okay, excuse me. Mike Dempsey, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
So, if you look at the talent over the whole team.
Okay.
Where do you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put this?
The talent overall?
Yes.
I think it's hard to say because they're losing so many games, but I do think individually there's a lot of talent that I like on this football team. I mean, I love the wide receiver core. I really do. I think you got a couple of talented running backs. I think Brandon Linder's a really good player. You know, and Kelvin Beachum's been a good player. I think the old line was okay today.
Beachum's still coming back a little bit from the knee.
You know, I think you've got some talent on the defensive line, but they're not standing out in particular. I think – you know, Telvin Smith, Posluszny, Miles Jack, in terms of Jack's more raw ability at this point, but Telvin's been playing great. Posluszny's been playing great this year. I don't know where I put it this way. Since Shad Khan got the team, Malarkey's first year and the last three seasons, this is by far the most talent that they've had, in my opinion,
easy,
on
yeah,
the roster.
Sure.
David, what's the point you'd like to make off of that? Or is that it?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I think they do have talent. Clearly, they're not getting, in my opinion, they're not getting the return out of the talent that is you're capable of getting, right? Because I think they have better players than the record would indicate. That's my opinion. Now, the quarterback, I thought, was a big part of that talent coming into the season, hasn't played like it.
No,
he's been a detriment to your success this year. So, you know, how much of it is on Blake? It's not all on him, but a big part of it is. And, you know, when your quarterback's not playing well, all the rest of the things around you, you know, look at times how Denver struggled offensively last year, right? Even with that great defense, good running game, they went on to win the Super Bowl, JP, but they overcame poor quarterback play that cost them at times down the stretch. Even a team that was as good enough to win the Super Bowl is not capable of continually week in, week out, always overcoming poor quarterback play, and that's what they're getting right now.
Yeah, I mean, almost every national pundit before the season said, hey, they're building it the right way. Look at this free agent class. Look at the draft class the last couple of years, and it's kind of all come together. That's how a lot of people would have built this thing if they had the opportunity.
Right. Now just because you're picking the right positions doesn't mean you're picking the right guys either.
Right.
You know.
And they're not playing good football right now.
No,
as a collective group.
Let's get Lucas out in Gainesville next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to say that last year, you know, I want to point out that Dempsey, I spoke to you actually individually, and I mentioned how I was satisfied last year. I was pointing out the silver lining of last year of how it was later in the year before I started looking towards the draft and, you know, basically calling the season off. And this year I'm looking at that a little earlier. You know, I'm looking at a pass rusher out of A&M. I'm looking at a coach, Josh McDaniels. You know, I'm looking at all this kind of stuff. So basically my comment is that I think we have the personnel. I think we have the players. And I think, you know, as Gene Smith would say, we're a draft class away, but we're a head coach away as well. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Oh, I mean, you know, JP and I have been pretty clear about this. We're not talking about coaching candidates unless there's a coaching opening.
Or draft classes.
Right. Once you're mathematically eliminated, draft class talk all you like, right? But I'm not naive. I just told you a little while ago they're not making the postseason. But until they're mathematically eliminated, I don't see any point. I mean, we're going to be beating the draft into the ground for months and months and months. And guess what? The players are not going to change. There's nothing we can do. It's not like we're going to discover, hey, man, if we really just all get on Myles Garrett right now, we can, you know what I mean? I mean, look, we don't know where they're going to pick. We don't know anything at this point in time. You know, right now it looks like it's going to be a high pick again.
By the time January gets here, and then from January to the end of April is like the longest 4 months ever. It's just get the dang draft here and over with. Because we'll have plenty of time for that.
In the abstract, people, whatever team, if you're a team out there who wants Josh McDaniels, are you prepared to wait through the Super Bowl? Because there's a good chance the New England Patriots will be playing in that game. And then even if you wait through that period of time, that doesn't mean that guy's going to come here, right? So, or anywhere else for that matter. So just in the hypothetical range.
Hypothetical.
Without getting specific.
Let's take our final timeout. We'll come back. One more segment left to get your calls in. If you don't get in, fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. One more segment of the Scoreboard Show coming up on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final minutes of the Scoreboard Show. We'll go till 6 o'clock. Fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker on 1010XL is coming up next. If you don't get in here, 641-1010 is the number over there. And we'll go for a while tonight, I'm sure, as we have this evening here. And final few phone calls before we're out of here.
Here's a good question I thought on Twitter. JP from Josh Wathan at B-Town to Jax. Do you think Gus should have trusted Myers with a 57-yard field goal at the end of the second quarter since he already hit a 54-yarder?
And crushed that one, by the way.
He did crush it, but also, you know, he missed one the week before. But he piped two of them today. It's such a tough range that you're in there because if you're at the 40 is where they were. And you say that you're going to kick it from the 47-48. It's going to be a 57-58-yarder. Okay, he's definitely capable of making it distance-wise. But with about 30 seconds left in the half, you want to leave Houston two completions away from their own shot at a field goal there. So they opted to go for it, which makes it the more interesting decision, I think, because you end up giving it up at the 40-yard line anyway, right? So there's not that much of a difference there. They're trying to be aggressive. They're trying. I think that's such a no-man's land. I mean, in hindsight, yeah, maybe they should have, but then if they miss it, you're saying, what are you doing having Myers kick a 57-58-yard field goal? And then.
But then, you know, that's to Fred's point. The first down that they got and then on was a 7-yard pass to Yeldon. So it was second and three.
Right.
And I think Fred's point was, why not try to run,
run it
get another
there.
First down,
right.
Maybe get some yardage, and then kick a field goal that would be shorter than 57
or yards. Or maybe, yeah, have some momentum pick up. Maybe you pop one for 10 yards and you still have a chance to score. So maybe that is the better call. But once it gets down to fourth down, I'm not saying that that's the wrong call, you know, to go for the field goal there. I mean, that truly is one of those kind of coin flip decisions I think a coach makes. And coaches will be criticized when it doesn't go right, regardless if they made the right decision or not, generally. And that's fine. That's part of the gig. I'm not trying to protect Gus Bradley. Gus makes plenty of mistakes out there. But in this case, I don't know if that's necessarily a mistake. Because you can look and say it was a 3-point margin at the end, JP, but we all know once the score changes, then the other team changes how they play, and you change how you play. So there's no telling how the second half would have played out under those circumstances.
By the way, this is a perfect segue for field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with a purchase of a sub, chips, and medium drink. To register, go to Jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Today, Myers good from 54 in the first half and 44 in the second half, but you only get one free sub, not two.
Correct.
So congratulations.
But he gave you a cushion.
Yeah, just in case.
Just a little room to
spare. A little margin for error.
All right, let's get out to McClenny. Kevin is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I listened to the game on the radio, and I wouldn't even have known Dante Fowler played except for that one stupid personal foul. And
it's a good point.
And the other thing is, you know, I feel sorry for Sip because I think the coaches are just trying to find different chemistry. And I just want to get your guys' thoughts on it, and I'll take it off the air.
I'm not quite sure I understand the sorry for Cyprian aspect of it. I mean, Sip is their starting strong safety. So I'll move away from that one, and I'll focus on the first question, which you're absolutely right. I mean, Dante Fowler, I don't care if you think it was ticky-tack or whatever. What possible reason do you have to even put your hands on Brock Osweiler when he's 3 yards out of bounds? This is not bang-bang. This is not catching him as he's stepping out of bounds. He had run several steps out of bounds, and Fowler puts first one and the second hand. And just at that speed, and you're running on that little – that kind of a mat right there – it doesn't take much. I don't even think he's fake. Everyone said, oh, what an acting job. How much does it take when you're running and you're trying to slow yourself on what is not a surface that you're used to running on? Regardless if he faked it, what are you doing putting your hands on the guy? This is not just an error. This is a dumb penalty. This is not the first time for Dante Fowler. And you saw Gus right away get your butt right there. Don't you even think about going back out on the field. And he probably, I'm assuming it was Ngakoue that he waved in at that point in time. Dante Fowler's not making much of an impact for this football team.
They're very fortunate they didn't give up more points there before the half because of that.
Exactly.
It went from the 40 to the 30, the Houston 40 to the Jacksonville 37 after that play.
Yeah, you're right. But, hey, you could probably point out more negative plays that Dante has made than positive plays this year.
Now, a play close to the sideline that was a good play today was Jalen Ramsey pushing out DeAndre Hopkins right on the boundary. Close bang-bang play. Ramsey pushed him anyway, but his foot's still on the grass.
Yeah.
On the green grass, and he goes spilling into the sideline.
That's
a clean play. That's a clean
football
play.
Football's a rough sport.
Not at the edge of the white going into the bench.
No, and especially with the quarterback who you know they're looking for that kind of thing when a guy runs out of bounds.
The guy's 6 foot eight. You can't miss him.
It's completely undisciplined. Right, yeah. There's no, you know, logical mental thought went into it whatsoever. And, you know, we've heard this coaching staff allude to Dante needing to not be a me guy. That's a me play. What are you trying to do? You think you're a tough guy because you push a guy from behind who doesn't even see you coming when he's way out of bounds? I mean, what? Unless you think I'm going to hurt him, and then it's a completely dirty play at that point in time. Why you would possibly do that? I mean, honestly, if Dante Fowler didn't step foot on the field for the rest of the game, that would have been justified, in my opinion. And it's not like you're missing, you know, some guy who's dominating snap in, snap out.
Right.
Those kind of guys get leeway, JP, like it or not. He is not in that category right now.
There you have it.
David in Middleburg, you're up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, man.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
All right.
Cool. Hey, I just want to, you know, everybody's bashing the Jags, the coaches, the players. And, you know, I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of football. I can't tell you a post route from a slant, from a whatever. I just enjoy watching the game, and the Jags are my team. I love them. Win, lose, or draw, at the end of the day, at the end of the fourth quarter, I'm still on my seat. I'm not changing the channel at halftime if they're doing bad. And, yeah, it's just they're a good team. They're in a slump.
Well, hey, you know what?
Perspective.
More power to you, brother. And
they're in a slump. I'll give
trust
you
that JP and I, the last thing we want is to, you know, dishearten any Jaguar fan from it. If you are all in and loving it and just hanging in there, that is great, man. And good for you. That this town needs as many of you as we can get. You know, it's tough to hang in there with a team that is as, you know, as losing as they've been in recent years. And, you know, that shows a lot of spirit. And anything else you want to say? I mean, I applaud that, and I think that's a good high note maybe to end on today, quite frankly.
There you have it. That's a good call.
But at the same time, I don't blame anybody who feels 180 degrees diametrically opposed. I mean, you know, different people react different ways.
The Jaguars get the Detroit Lions Sunday at Ford Field, and we talked a little bit with Fred about this. It's a team with Matt Stafford. One, he's been able to bring his team back in some games this year. They rallied and won in overtime last week, and all of a sudden, yes, they are at the top of the NFC North division. The Detroit Lions are 5-4. They have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Minnesota last week, who's also 5-4 now. Green Bay 4-5. Chicago's 2-7. Detroit, I mean, they've got everything right there in front of them, and they need a win against Jacksonville pretty bad to stay right where they want to be.
They're fine. They just keep winning games, right? They're going to look at Jacksonville coming in as one of the worst teams in the National Football League. They're going to say, if we don't beat ourselves, this team can't beat us. That's how they're going to feel. And right now the Jags have shown they're quite capable and willing to beat themselves enough that if I'm a team and I can play mistake-free football against them, I'm going to feel like I'm going to win this football game as well. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I hate to say it, the record proves it. Their inconsistency, their you know, litany of mistakes and different ones week in, week out, they are truly one of the handful of worst teams in the National Football League. And I, for one, certainly didn't expect that to be the case in 2016, but there's no denying reality, and that's where we stand right now for the fourth consecutive year. This is a team going nowhere fast, at least for the current season.
couple of parting notes here from Ryan O'Halloran. Fifth straight game without a takeaway. That ties an NFL record.
That is not a record you want to tie.
Which is, I didn't even realize that would be the record. I thought it would be more than that.
Hey, you would think back in the day when they didn't throw the forward pass a whole lot, you know. Somebody could hang on to the football. You know, so right. So they could set the
mark. Well, this is since the merger.
Okay, since the merger. Yeah. All right. Regardless, it's a long time. It's a lot of football. If they don't get a turnover next week, they hold the record by themselves.
Now, 23 straight quarters without a takeaway. That won't get much done. And to Blake Bortles today, the pick six, his ninth in his career, and third interception on the opening drive this season. The Jaguars did score right after that, but then got in a hole again, and they were unable to climb out of it today. The final score of 24-21. The Texans are now 6-3. The Jags are 2-7. Well done, Mike. Hey, we'll talk to you next week, I guess.
Thank you, buddy. I'll be here.
Jags and the Lions coming up next week. Joe Fortunato, Linda Fortunato, Tyler Devitt, Max Hockman, our entire Jaguars.com and Jaguars radio crew. This is JP Shadrick. The fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. This has been the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.